This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to Talk Louisiana, and signature support is from Subaru of Baton Rouge, SubaruBR.com. We begin with Mark Ballard, who will be with us for much of the hour today, the gentleman who covers the Capitol in Washington and still keeps his finger on the pulse of what's happening at the Capitol in Baton Rouge. And as we know, the two often intersect, and we are getting closer and closer to the inauguration of Jeffrey Martin Landry as governor of Louisiana, 1 month and 1 day away. And Mark followed the campaign and the election with Ernest in Washington. And Jeff Landry is a former congressman and, of course, served almost 8 years as attorney general. By the time he takes the oath of office on January 8th, it will be 8 years as the attorney general of the state of Louisiana. In the race, almost all the candidates stayed in until the end, with an exception, and that was the state representative from Mandeville, Richard Nelson, who was considered the most moderate or perhaps even a little bit liberal of the Republican candidates. But Richard Nelson got out of the race, and he endorsed Jeff Landry. And yesterday, the governor-elect named his former opponent as the head of the Department of Revenue. And this is where John Neely Kennedy began his ascension to power in Louisiana, starting with being named Revenue Secretary by Mike Foster. And then he became, of course, State Treasurer. Ran for U.S. Senate 3 times before he won, but he did win in 2014, 2016. And as a result, he was reelected in 2022, and now John Neely Kennedy, at the age of 72, is one of the best-known U.S. senators in America. But what do you make of Richard Nelson, who probably is less conservative than Jeff Landry, being named head of his Department of Revenue, Mark Ballard?
Well, I think that oftentimes we have candidates who run, and they run for the idea of getting a position down the road, and I mean, that's kind of like that's what it appears that he did, and he would not be, and Nelson would not be the first to have done it that way as well, because gubernatorial. Look at Jay Darden, for instance. You know, in the John Bell administration. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think that that happens, and I also think that Richard Nelson is has a lot of good retail political skills. And so I think that we will be seeing him, like John Kennedy, going up the political ladder in months to come, in years to come, rather.
Your number is 877-217-5757. Talk@talklouisiana.org is the email address, and Mark Ballard is at the ready. Richard Nelson has called for the abolition, elimination of the state's income tax. He wants Louisiana to be like Florida and Texas, and he believes that that would enable us to grow in a way those states have grown. Now, last week on this program, Charlie Melanson, the former congressman, said, yeah, if you do that, it's great, but you have to get money somewhere. Right now, we can't even pay for a bridge in Lake Charles, so we have to have a tax base, and if you don't have sales tax, if you don't have, sales taxes or income taxes, you got to go somewhere else. And that would mean property taxes, most likely. But at any rate, it is interesting that Jeff Landry would choose a guy with an idea that is somewhat outside the box to be head of the money department, the revenue department, Mark.
And he has been very vocal about getting rid of the income tax. But former Congressman Melanson says that, I mean, where are we going to get the money otherwise? I imagine that Jeff Landry would be supportive of getting rid of the income tax and going along like Florida or Texas does as well. So, I mean, I think this will become an issue over the next 4 years at least.
877-217-5757 for Mark Ballard. Henry at the Country Club of Louisiana. Good morning, Henry.
Good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Mr. Mark. I got a question, and maybe I should ask Mr. Donilon yesterday since he's a lawyer, but Mike Johnson is saying that he's got he has hired people to fade the pictures of the January 6th rioters or protesters or whatever you want to call them. Now, it seems to me that it's against the law to destroy evidence. Do you know if those are the original tapes or if he made copies of them to destroy? Thank you all very
all right.
much.
Thank you, Henry. And this is true, but is he destroying the originals or is this just something that is being edited for public viewing?
I believe it's the copies, because as is pointed out, that he cannot destroy the originals. In that, and nor would I think, you know, I think that they would have stopped that on a court level if he tried. So, but this is a bigger issue in that the Republican right, or many on the very right wing conservative portions of the House Republicans, are trying to say that they're trying to minimize January 6th in the first place, and in the second place, there are some. Marjorie Taylor Greene, for instance, who are arguing that that all this is doing is allowing the Department of Justice to chase down Trump supporters and to prosecute them. And so that's also part of the narrative that's being pushed.
877-217-5757 for Mark Bauer. Now, Mike Johnson, he is now ensconced as the Speaker of the House, but yesterday Kevin McCarthy announced that he is quitting at the end of the year. He took his ball and went home to Bakersfield, and so that means that if a couple of Republicans switch to Democrat, then the Speaker of the House would be Hakeem Jeffries. It's that close, Mark. So will there be a move, or is this just going to be kind of Republicans hanging by a thread with a majority? What do you think?
Well, I think the math shows that with the removal of George Santos, and then with the congressman from Ohio that's about to become the head of Youngstown State, and with McCarthy leaving at the end of the month, that you're looking at a majority of one.
Of one. Of one.
Mike Johnson cannot lose a vote, but he can only lose one Republican so that the Republicans not get their way. So it's getting very close, and that means that, you know, a heart attack or any other thing, you know, would change the majority. And the scenario that you have mapped out as to Hakeem Jeffries taking over is it would be likely. So
the congressman you mentioned from Ohio, Bill Johnson, he's another one who's been out there with some of his position stands. But at any rate, you're right. Any number of things could change the power base in Washington, D.C. But people have been known to change, and there are several districts held by Republicans that were won by Joe Biden in 2020. And I would think many of people, they're looking at reelection, of course. This is an election year coming up. So it might be a case in which Democrats regain control and Johnson has an extremely short stint as Speaker of the House. But beyond that, Johnson apparently is going to go through with an effort to impeach Joe Biden. Does he have the votes to do it?
I would say right now, no. And so we won't be seeing that. Or if we do see that, it'll be basically Johnson going to the right wing contingent in the Republican Party and saying, you know, okay, we've done that. Let's move on. But I don't think he's going to have the votes to do that.
All right. Patrick in Innisfail Estates, you're on the air with Mark Ballard. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, I saw in the news that James Carville said that Mike Johnson being a Christian is a bigger threat than Al-Qaeda. Why is it okay to attack Christians in the Congress, but you can't attack, we're not anti-Semitic, we don't want to, and I'm not saying we should be, and we don't attack Muslims, but it's okay to attack Christians.
All right. Well, I don't think Carville, who is
a
Christian.
How come that we take a single person's opinion and say that that's a widespread belief? I mean, you know, I just don't see it. You know, I mean, he can be criticized for many things, you know, and holding those beliefs is one thing, but, you know, I spent yesterday talking to a troll who was, you know, that Mike Johnson isn't a Christian. And I go, Mike Johnson is a Christian. What you're arguing about is his position, you know, so why is one person his position? And why is it that one person attacking, you know, on a personal level mean that there's this widespread movement afoot to get rid of Christianity in America?
Well, and I'm not putting words in James Carville's mouth, but last time I checked, he is a Christian. Carville, I think he just believes that Mike Johnson and others would like a theocracy, and we do have this thing called separation of church and state in America, and Johnson has said that the Bible is what makes him tick in every way. We'll talk more with Mark Ballard after this. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us. Robin Dow is producing, and Mark Ballard is our guest. 877-217-5757. We're talking about the world at large as we approach 2024, an election year nationally. In Louisiana, all the congressional seats will be up for grabs, but there will be reapportionment, and it could affect any congressman immensely. It will affect all of them to some degree, including Mike Johnson, but it looks like he is protected, and we'll see where it goes from there. But the speculation is that either Julia Letlow or Garrett Graves will lose their electoral advantage, and it will be a black majority district. So if that is the case, Mark Ballard, Louisiana also could have one more Democrat, meaning two rather than one, in its six-member delegation. And there was a story over the weekend, as you know, you're on top of this, that Garrett Graves and Steve Scalise are really, really at bitter ends right now. Graves isn't talking, but Scalise is, and he's not happy with his colleague from Baton Rouge. What are your ideas and thoughts about this as you are right there amid the tumult in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I think that it's overstated, frankly. I know that there was some bad blood between the Graves people and the Scalise people over what Mr. Graves said during the speakership races. But Mr. Graves will tell you that what he was after was to change the rules, not to undermine Steve Scalise. But, you know, so that is what he would say, you know, and there's no reason to believe that that's not the case, but a lot of people do believe that that's the case. And so that the reality is that there is some sort of friction going on. Now, how that will impact the redistricting, which I think is the bigger issue, remains to be seen, because there are three possibilities. There are many different kinds of maps that Judge Stitt could put together, or the legislature could put together. But, you know, one would be a horizontal map along the I-20 that would put Johnson and Letlow in the same seat and have them run. There is the removal of the switching in Letlow's district, where there's a high percentage of African Americans, and that would impact her position. And then there's Garrett Graves, and that would impact his position. How they go about it is going to be largely political, because any of those three seats would get them to the point that they need to, you know, that would be legal under Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act.
877-217-5757 to talk with Mark Ballard. Rob on Lakeshore. Rob, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. Mark, were you surprised by Kevin McCarthy's resignation?
You know, I was and wasn't. You know, I was surprised that it came so early. But, you know, I don't know, maybe I was hearing about the possibility of it a lot in Capitol Hill, and just that kind of became part of my fundamental knowledge, cloud of knowledge. But so I was surprised when he wrote that letter to the Wall Street Journal yesterday that it was going to be more imminent than we thought, you know. But on the other hand, in just talking to him, you know, back and forth in the hallways and that sort of thing, it seemed like he was had enough, basically, you know, that like John Boehner and Eric Cantor before him, you know, the young Turks when they the young guns when they were elected back in the 80s, he just has had enough of this Tea Party element in the House. And that was apparent in talking to him.
Again, 877-217-5757 is your Talk Louisiana number. Robert in Alabama. Robert, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim. Yeah, the guy that called in complaining about James Carville and bashing Mike Johnson because he's a Christian, I saw what James Carville said. I watched it on YouTube. And this is what people need to pay attention to. Mike Johnson has said things about his faith that have to do with his job as Speaker of the House. He just gave a speech on Tuesday in Washington to a evangelical group where he talked about how God is talking to him. A lot of us talk to God, which is called prayer, but there's a smaller number of us who claim that God talks to us. And he claimed in that speech, and Mark can go find this, that he is the Moses, that he has been selected by God as the Moses of today. That's the problem. I mean, it's not that he's a Christian. It's the way he talks about his faith and how it intersects with his job. Mm-hmm. And I emailed Tyler Bridges after he was on your show this week and laid out a few things. It was before this speech and asked him to look into this because there's something here that we don't know. And it's how Christianity fits in with the nation. And Mike says that we are a Christian nation and that there is no separation between church and state.
All right. Well, we are a nation of Christians, more Christians than anybody else, but we're not like Israel, which is a Jewish state. We are not. And as a result, we should not be saying that the Bible is going to determine whether or not we act one way or the other as far as voting a particular way. The Bible is a great resource and inspiration for those of us of faith, but it, based on our Constitution, Mark, is not what we should use when we decide whether to vote against or for assault weapons, for example. And well, we can go down the line, but your thoughts.
Well, I think that and while the caller is right, perhaps a little exaggerated, but is basically right that he sees himself as a messenger of God, that fits into his religion, which is Southern Baptist. I mean, he's right in the middle of that. He's not veering off into some sort of crazy land from there. He is just like the other 14 million Southern Baptists in the Southern, in mostly in the South. But I think that that what he's trying to say is that as a man of God, that this is what is informing his beliefs and his positions and his actions and so that he's doing this, as, you know, that as a person, as a man of God, and that would not be stepping over the line as far as the merging of religion and state. That's my understanding of it, and you know, well, and I think I follow it.
Well, for those who believe, as Mike Johnson apparently does, that God is responsible for him being speaker. Well, I believe that he's probably right, but that would also mean that God is responsible for Joe Biden being president, for Donald Trump being president, for Barack Obama being president. When we try to figure out what the higher power is doing, I think sometimes we fall short of the mark because we just don't know. Kelsey in Central. Kelsey, good morning. You're on with Mark
Good morning.
Ballard.
How are you? Good morning. How are both of you this morning?
Fine.
I listened to a bunch of different podcasts, both mixed views, both Democrat and Republican. And I want to know, Mr. Ballard, how you feel about the possibility of Mr. Trump maybe doing 4 more years. Do you see it? I know a lot of people are frightened by that. Do you see that being positive or negative?
Mark?
I don't know. First of all, I'm not supposed to be making a public political pronouncement on that, but I see that as a possibility. And, you know, whether it's positive or negative, I guess, relies on what he actually does and what his supporters actually believe. And that's the concern.
877-217-5757. More time with Mark Ballard when we return after this. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow is producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. Emails to talk at talklouisiana.org. Mark Ballard of The Advocate is our guest, as he is on most Thursdays. And as usual, he spurs some thought about matters near and far. And before we get back to the federal situation, and I tell you, it's just amazing how more people are geared up about what's happening nationally than they are in Louisiana, but that's where we are, and that's part of the reason why we had a 35.6% turnout for the October 14th primary, which was abysmal. But there's a big issue, and now it's on page 9A of The Advocate today. Governor Edwards urges Calcasieu River Bridge action. Outgoing leader suggests project should be top priority. This bridge, of course, is in dire straits. And he says Governor Landry should find a way to build a new Interstate 10 bridge over the Calcasieu River before all else when the governor takes office in a month. And we don't want gas taxes, or at least an increase in them, even though we have one of the smallest in the country. And we don't want tolls. That's Howlin Monroe saying, why are we so averse to paying tolls, of which many of the toll cost, much of the toll cost would be absorbed by people coming in from out of state. What are your thoughts about why we're so steadfast against this, Mark, as a people in Louisiana?
Because we're cheap. I mean, I certainly am. the thing is, we just don't want to, you know, we don't want to pay more, and that's what it's going to take. They're going to have to come up with some sort of matching money on a state level to pay for that bridge. You know, because the bulk of it, the majority of that bridge, is going to be paid for by the federal government. But you know, I've always hated tolls. You know, I don't want to pay more in taxes. You know, but at some point, you know, we probably ought to take responsibility for what we're doing and not rely on a federal government, which many folks in Louisiana don't appreciate.
Okay, 877-217-5757. Story front page of the New York Times, one of many riveting stories on the front page of this newspaper, and I'm sure many others across the country. Republicans yesterday on Capitol Hill blocked an emergency spending bill to fund the war in Ukraine, demanding strict new border restrictions in exchange and severely jeopardizing President Biden's push to replenish the war chests of America's allies before the end of the year. The legislation is right now not going the way the president wants it to, and I know both Clay Higgins and Garrett Graves have been against funding Ukraine, the war in Ukraine. What happened yesterday, Mark?
I think there's a couple of ways to look at it. One is that Mike Johnson is having a much bigger impact on politics on Capitol Hill than we expected, because that was something that he was pushing as far as to go, that there would be, that Israel funding should stand alone and that Ukraine funding should be linked to passage of H.R. 2, which was a bill that just huge changes as far as the immigration procedures and border security. And the Republicans yesterday in the Senate, who had not always kind of joined in on this effort, have over the last couple of weeks started joining in on this effort and basically blocked the funding for that the president wanted, which would have been for the Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, and blocked that funding because it did not have a border security portion to it. And that's where it stands now. They're trying now to get the president more involved in border security negotiations so that this can be passed in the next couple of weeks. But that remains to be seen.
Well, it was 49-51, so it was a close vote in the Senate. Now, do you know how Cassidy and Kennedy voted?
Yeah, I saw and I saw them both vote. So unless they changed their vote, which I don't think would happen based on the numbers, that they both voted against this was a procedural vote that would allow them to continue on. So they both voted against the measure that would have provided funding without border security.
And that vote would require, a procedural vote would require 60, so it was 11 votes shy, so they did not cast, quote, the deciding votes, but still, they were against. No. James in Metairie. James, good morning. You're on with Mark Ballard.
Well, good morning, Jim and Mark. A quick comment and a question for Mark. Mike Johnson, if God told him he was the new Moses, that's referred to as an auditory hallucination, hearing voices, delusional thinking. If Moses parted the Red Sea, let's see if Mike Johnson can part the Potomac River. Then maybe I'd believe him. Now, last night at the Republican debate, I think it was in Alabama, Ramaswamy has said the 2020 election was definitely stolen by big tech, and that the January 6th MAGA mob attack on the Capitol looks like it was an inside job. Mark, we're in trouble. Thank you.
Well, on the first one, I think at times we do feel the presence of powers beyond this earth in our lives, and we might say God told me, or I don't know. But I'll give Mike Johnson the benefit of the doubt. But on the Ramaswamy thing, I think the guy's off his rocker. Mark, your thoughts?
Well, so you're in the Chris Christie camp, which was I think that that he is a politician. I can't pronounce his name, sorry, but that he is a politician is reaching out to a sizable number of Republicans who do go out and vote in the primaries, who believe that the election was stolen, who believe that January 6th was a put up job, as Marjorie Taylor Greene says, to find Trump supporters and prosecute them, it's, I would like to say that that's a minority, but they are a significant group of people who vote in the Republican primaries. And that's who he's reaching out to, whether or not he believes it or not. I guess he does. He says it out loud. So one would presume that he believes what he says. So, but there it is.
You know, last night I was talking to a seasoned Politico, and he was supportive of Stephen Waguespack in the governor's race. And Waguespack, of course, actually went down after he started advertising. His poll numbers decreased, and he finished with under 6%. And this person blamed the fact that Stephen Waguespack was connected to Bobby Jindal, who remains unpopular in Louisiana. Well, Nikki Haley, who right now is viewed by many as the hope by those in the Republican Party who don't like Donald Trump to get the nomination in lieu of Donald Trump, she supported him, and she changed positions. She, when she was governor of South Carolina in 2016, called Donald Trump's threat to ban all Muslims from entering the country abysmal, saying it was un-American, part of a pattern of unacceptable comments and acts from the president she later served. So is it hard for somebody like Haley to break through the pack when she is so intricately associated with his administration?
Well, I want to return to Chris Christie and saying that those four people were the also-rans. I mean, but they argued as if they were the leading candidates, and Trump outpaces all of them. And so, I mean, I think, though, that politicians should be like you and I, allowed to, you know, change your mind on certain issues. You know, it's kind of, you know, I was thinking like back during the Vietnam War when I was like 8 years old and my cousin had just been killed. I wanted to nuke him, you know, and thought that that's the way we should do it, you know. But, you know, over time you kind of change positions, and rightfully so. And we saw that, we've seen that with John Kennedy. I don't know if it's rightfully so for him, but I mean, it's, he does change positions. People are allowed to change positions. And she has changed positions.
In the case of the first President Bush, he ran against Ronald Reagan in 1980 for the Republican nomination for president as a pro-choice Republican. And then when he was invited to be the vice president nominee for Ronald Reagan, and of course ultimately served 8 years, overnight he went from pro-choice to pro-life. And now that, you know, we change positions, but when it happens in a case like that, sometimes it's hard not to connect the dots, Mark.
If you're going to change position, you got to be able to take the heat from doing just that. And if it is a sincere change of position, then you should be able to argue that. And if it's not, if it's a, you know, just a political base, then you should take the lumps with that.
Well, we are getting closer and closer to 2024. And it is apparent that Joe Biden and Donald Trump are the respective front runners in their parties. And I'm looking at Real Clear Politics. Among GOP candidates, the odds makers have Trump at a 61% chance for the nomination. And they have Joe Biden at a 68% chance of getting the nomination. Now, when it comes to betting on president, right now Trump's at 36.5, Biden 29.3, Haley 10, and Newsom 9. So Haley is the candidate on the move, and she, of course, like Bobby Jindal, is of Indian extraction, and she is a conservative, and she picked a time better to run than did Bobby Jindal for president of the United States, and she is the person who is most likely to challenge Donald Trump if any challenge mounts. But time is short, and we'll talk with Mark Ballard a bit more when we return after this pause on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to Talk Louisiana, and we thank Mark Ballard for staying with us for much of the hour. We are in the home stretch, the final quarter hour, and if you'd like to get in, 877-217-5757, or you can send emails to talk@talklouisiana.org. Bill Huey writes, put his biblical literalism together with his strict constitutional constructionism, and you have a combination that's deadly to democracy. He's referring to Speaker Johnson. Bill Huey says he can't last long. His world view is just too limited. Well, I don't know. What are your thoughts about the staying power of the man from Benton, Louisiana?
I guess we're going to find out in January. He will have just one vote in January that he can get those appropriations bills passed. And if the far right, of which he's a member, if the far right think that he's done a bad job, then we'll probably have another speaker.
And the election, a listener asked about reapportionment. Well, that wouldn't happen until 2025 after the 24 election. And it's no guarantee. First of all, no guarantee that the districts will be drawn in time for the election, although that is the objective. And secondly, if it is a small African-American majority, then it gets to be turnout. It is possible Republicans can win races of that kind, and it's also possible that they could end up sweeping and winning everything. But this is basically, the court didn't order Louisiana to have two black congresspeople. It ordered Louisiana to give the opportunity for two black congresspeople to be elected, Mark.
That is true. And that also remains up in the air because there's another case that is percolating up through the system that where they could actually overturn that portion of Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act between now and the next election.
Patricia,
those are all possibilities.
Patricia in Magnolia Woods, you're on the air with Mark Ballard.
Hey, good morning. I just had a comment about the debate. In the last governor election, Together Louisiana had not a debate, but a forum, and John Bel Edwards and David Bitter participated in it, and the candidates were not allowed to insult each other. They just had to answer questions that the Together Louisiana put to them, and so they had to kind of tell what their policies would be, and Bitter, I gave him credit for showing up and for being honest, and because it was probably a somewhat favorable crowd. I think that would be a more useful thing than debate that they currently have for the president. Thanks.
All right.
Well, that will be useful, but it is hard these days to keep the candidates from attacking one another.
And as you know, Mark, people, they complain about conflict just like they complain about negative advertising. But yet, if there is conflict, the ratings will go up. And if there's negative advertising on a particular candidate, almost invariably his or her numbers will go down. It works. And it's just a question. Now, the other day, it almost got out of hand with Mark Wayne Mullen and Sean O'Brien in a committee room, and Bernie Sanders had to call him down. And people have seen the edited clip of that. Those guys went at each other for 6 minutes. And I think if there had not been people in the room, they probably would have had a mano situation there. And as much as people complain about it, they would be watching it. And that's why the other day, Mark, as we segue to sports, people want us to talk a bit about the Heisman voting. But I saw the New York Times ran an article about women's college basketball saying it's now a $100 million industry. And then the next day or two, there was a story about Ultimate Fighting being a $12 billion industry. $12 billion industry. Now, John McCain called that human cockfighting. But if colleges suddenly went into the UFC business and had Ultimate Fighting championships, I imagine it might exceed football as a popular sport on campus, Mark.
Well, maybe so. Maybe so. I kind of find it difficult to believe that the colleges would get involved in such a thing, but
they probably won't. But money is king in these days, and when it comes to athletics, as we know, and that would generate revenue. But so would an execution at Tiger Stadium. If we had a firing squad at midfield, I imagine they could sell out the stadium. They could have closed circuit television. They could have sponsorships, parking, concessions, maybe a band to play before. It would be quite a spectacle, Mark.
You sound like you missed the Roman days.
I'm just saying that this people, as much as they complain about gore and insensitivity, in reality, people are riveted to those sorts of things. And that's how it goes.
Absolutely true.
Okay.
That's absolutely true.
Well, I'd say Jaden Daniels' chances of winning the Heisman are better than either Donald Trump or Joe Biden's chances of winning the presidential election next year. And it will be the third Heisman Trophy winner for LSU, the second in 5 seasons, and the first African-American to win a Heisman Trophy for LSU. So Jaden Daniels has had quite a season, and he is part of the new world. He's one of those transfers came through the portal from Arizona State, and he has had an amazing 2 years in Baton Rouge. I'm sorry. I bet you're sorry you missed it, Mark.
Well, I got to watch quite a bit because LSU was on television quite a bit. And so I did see several of the more important games anyway. And as an LSU fan, I got to say that I'm four square for Jaden Daniels to win the Heisman. I can't imagine anyone else doing as well, but then you have to remember that I am an LSU fan.
Well, and you are an LSU graduate and a Columbia graduate. Columbia doesn't play football quite.
Yeah, I often, when I was up there, I thought, you know, that maybe I ought to try out for the team because I certainly was as big as their linebackers were.
Well, back in the day when Burt Jones was a quarterback for the Baltimore Colts and he finished fourth in the Heisman voting in 1972, he was the quarterback for the Colts, LSU, and his backup was Marty Domrez, the pride of Columbia University, the Columbia Lions, by the way. But they're not known for being a power even in the Ivy League, but it is a great university. Now, front page is of the New York Times. It is in our Section A in Baton Rouge. Norman Lear, the television writer and producer who introduced political and social commentary into situation comedy with All in the Family and other shows, proving it was possible to be topical as well as funny while attracting millions of viewers, died Tuesday at his home in Los Angeles, 101 years old for Norman Lear. He gave us the Jeffersons. He gave us Good Times. A few days ago when I mentioned with another guest that Donald Trump was kind of a modern-day J.R. Ewing, some listeners noted some other comparisons. I think Dane Sherman said the character Kevin Costner plays in Yellowstone, John Dutton. And another listener said Jonas Cord, the character George Papard played in The Carpetbaggers in 1964. But Norman Lear, I remember in 2017 in Los Angeles, he was speaking, and he said that he thought that Archie Bunker had become president of the United States, meaning that there were similarities between Archie and Donald Trump. And, Mark, he might have been onto something.
He might have, and I thought where you were going was you were going to ask me which one I thought, and I was going to choose Archie Bunker.
Really?
Because, yeah.
Well, Robin Dow, we were short on time, but I think we can get this in. She's pulled up a sampling when Archie meets Meathead, and here's how it goes. Meathead the liberal, Archie the conservative, and this is how their first meeting went on All in the Family.
Daddy, Michael's a big baseball fan. He follows the Mets like you.
Is that so?
Yeah, he says the Mets are going to win the pennant this year.
The Mets ain't going to win no pennant for 10, 20 years, if then. Remember where you heard that.
Well, I don't know. They got great pitching. They got Kuzman and Seva and fantastic bench and that great platoon system of Gil Hodges.
You know something about baseball, huh?
Yeah, I really love the game.
Well, so do I.
Hey, I bet you've seen a lot of the great ones, huh?
Yeah, seen them all. Ruth, Gary, Hubble, all of them, way before your time, of course. Yeah, the game's changed a lot since them days.
I mean, live ball and...
Oh, live ball, the expansion clubs. Then, of course, the biggest change of all, 1947.
1947?
Yeah, that was the year they let Jackie Robinson into the majors. Changed the whole complexion of the game.
Now, I don't know if that would fly today, but in the early 70s, it was the top show by a mile on television. And Norman Lear was a liberal who started, People for the American Way, 101 years old. Sometimes people live longer when they're in a mild climate, and he died in Los Angeles, Mark. So thank God we're in mild climates.
Maybe so. I would assume that he didn't smoke and exercised every day, too. So,
well, he looked like he led a life of moderation, but he pushed the limits on his television shows. Thank you, Mark. Thanks for staying with us the whole hour. Signature support from Subaru of Baton Rouge. Until tomorrow, stay safe and stay tuned.